Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Seattle of the South. I think we will eventually be drying out here, but I think even the ducks have started wearing raincoats after all the rain we've had. But welcome to our show this morning. I have in studio with me Joanne Tuttle with JAT Consulting Services. They're a specialty consulting company in the construction trades and municipal services, which I think you'll find very interesting. We have Jeff Sheehan with Sheehan Marketing Strategies, who is an internet marketing guru. And we have Alan Mishkoff with Granite Garage Floors, a specialty coating company for your garage, which you'll find of great interest if you have a garage and you don't like dirty floors. And we have Brittany Ping with Students in College, who will tell us how to make this whole process of dealing with school simple. So let's get started this morning. I want to start with Al Mishkoff, who has to leave early. Unfortunately, he's got to go make money. He's got a hot prospect, so we're going to let him out early. But welcome to the studio, Alan, and tell us about your company, Granite Garage Floors.
Thanks, Chris. Granite Garage Floors, we are a residential home improvement company. We focus on upgrading old, dirty concrete garage floors that have either been painted or just stained with a coating that looks and lasts like granite through a process that we have fine-tuned over the years. We basically have a process where we focus on surface preparation. We diamond grind the surfaces. We use an industrial two-part epoxy coating as a base coat. And then our secret sauce is we broadcast decorative paint flakes into the base coat at a very high rate. And as a result, we establish a finish that looks like granite. It's got a nice orange peel texture to it, so it's got some slip-resistant characteristics. And then we top it with an epoxy clear coat, and then it's easy to clean, very chemical resistant, and is very, very durable.
Now, this is not something you just kind of fell into. I mean, woke up one morning and said, gee, I think I want to coat garage floors.
No, it's certainly not. I came into the business in a roundabout way. I worked for a big Fortune 500 company for 20-plus years, and through some consolidation efforts, was looking on the outside in, and wanted to try my hand at something that was more entrepreneurial in nature versus corporate America, and figured that this category was certainly one that is underserved in the marketplace, and I basically determined that by spending a lot of time, believe it or not, walking my dog around my own neighborhood in the height of the recession and seeing nothing but trucks in people's houses doing anything from upgrading bathrooms or kitchens or remodeling projects in the height of the recession. And this is something that I had done in my own property about 7 or 8 years ago. And and everyone that has ever seen it has loved it, but nobody ever even knew where you could go about getting this product installed. So we created a brand after our most popular finish, which was granite, which is kind of synonymous with durability and sounds with durability as well as good looks, and certainly it's a residential upgrade that most people are looking for.
Well, I think we were getting a message from the great beyond there.
Yeah.
But I think we have moved the great beyond away from the microphones now.
Yeah.
So for people that have never had a coated garage floor and are used to the old concrete ones, you know, what do they end up getting? And, you know, what makes this so good for a garage and a great addition for your home?
Yeah, well, my opinion is that you have to look at the garage as an extension of your house, and many people spend a lot of time on their home trying to improve all the space that they live in. And the garage floor is actually about 10% of the total square footage of a home. And most people enter and exit through their garage more than they do the front door of their own home. So you might as well make that space reflective of the balance of your home. So when we get done It's very easy to clean. It's extremely durable. It's very chemical resistant. And with our floor and a fresh coat of paint on the walls of your garage, you can really convert that space into something special. And, oh, by the way, it adds value to the overall home, particularly when you're looking at resale.
Now, you for those of you who know Jay Leno, if you look at his garage, you know, he's kind of taken that to an extreme. I mean, he probably has real granite down there, but you know, he hadn't got a plain concrete floor in that garage anywhere.
Now, there's been actually a lot of trends that are taking place. Just in this past week, there's been articles in the USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the focus on garage spaces, not just for celebrity types like Jay Leno, but I mean, it's certainly an affordable product that a lot of people can afford. So there's a huge trend toward people upgrading their garage floors.
It makes it easy to clean too, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's you just sweep it out and it just use a mild pH neutral abrasive on there, cleanser, and you're good to go. It should last for decades.
Really? So how do you put it down? So, I mean, some of us have had, our garage floors epoxied and painted and that kind of thing. But that paint comes up. What's the difference?
Our process is one where we spend a significant amount of time on surface preparation. And we do that by diamond grinding the floor utilizing industrial diamond grinders. They're hooked up to a vac system, so there's not a lot of dust or mess. And we spend the majority of our time preparing the surface so it's clean. That way, and really porous, that way when we put down the epoxy, it actually wicks into the concrete and creates a strong mechanical bond. And this is what's critical for us to provide a guarantee to our customers that it is never going to peel up because of the hot tires.
Well, gosh. So it really does, I mean, whether it leaks oil or, any fluid on it or anything, it's just impervious.
It pretty much is impervious. I mean, probably one of the only things that it's not impervious to, it would be like battery acid. But acid's going to eat through any surface. But most of the people that put our floors down are typically driving nicer cars, newer cars, so there's not really, you don't have a lot of battery acid that's leaking out of.
Yeah, and if you do, don't put a pan under it.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a new battery. You've got stores. Are these your own stores that you've opened in other locations?
We have. We're in the process of developing a franchise model. So in other locations, we currently have licensing agreements in place, but we're actually in the process right now of franchising our concept because we believe that our brand resonates very well with the user that we're going after, which is a demographic that certainly is higher income, higher home value for sure. We think that the process that we have is one that has been proven, and we don't skimp on any materials. We actually use anywhere from 2 to 4 times what the manufacturers recommend relative to epoxy and chips. And we provide a level of customer service that is unheralded within this space. Mm-hmm. We focus on a high level of communication with our customers. When we tell you we're going to be there for an estimate or for the install date, we're going to be there within 30 minutes of the time frame. And most people typically don't have great experiences with the construction and contractor-related field. So we try to set ourselves up a little bit differently by approaching that with being much more
doing it the right way.
Doing it the right way, one time. We don't want to come back to your house because that does us no good and does you no good. So we do it right the first time, and as long as you take care of it, it should last you a really long time.
Well, that's fantastic that you're franchising your concept and moving that out. Great concept, great way for franchising to be in a business of your own. So congratulations on doing that. I know you've got to run, so before you go, if people want to get in touch with you so they can get an estimate for having their garage done, or if they want to get in queue for a franchise, how do they reach you?
Yeah, you can reach us at, you can check us out on the web at granitegaragefloors.com. Or you can send me an email directly, alan@graniteGarageFloor.com. That's A-L-A-N. Or call us locally at 678-500-9537 in the Alpharetta area. But we have locations up and running right now in South Florida, here in Atlanta, Raleigh-Durham in Richmond, and we're looking to expand into several other cities here in the coming months.
Well, that's fantastic. I know you've got to go, Alan, so thank you for being with us this morning. I wish you all the success in the world.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, our next guest will be Joanne Tuttle, who is president, owner, and chief executive officer of a very specialized business called JET, is that it?
Yes, JET.
JET Consulting Services, and you've got quite a background in the construction industry, as I understand it. You've really been, you've been a big player down in Hartsfield.
That is correct. Thank you, Chris. It's been exciting. I started my firm almost 19 years ago in the basement of my house and took it from there. It's been a lot of fun. We work with architects, engineers, construction firms, helping them with their business operations, whether it's all of their accounting each month or whether it's specialized invoicing to their clients. We also work with the Small Business Development Program for the City of Atlanta Department of Watershed Management. We've been in that program for 6 years, where we work with businesses in the professional services and construction side, helping with their business operations. We've been a part of Hartsfield Atlanta Airport's capital improvement program since 1999, working in the contract administration and the invoicing side. Primarily making sure that small businesses or medium-sized businesses that are working on Hartsfield Atlanta Airport's program has been paid in a timely manner. At the very beginning of that project, they wanted Ben DaCosta, who was the airport general manager, had wanted to make sure that everyone was paid within 30 days.
And you they're going to love him.
I tell you, if businesses are not paid within 30 days, it's very difficult being able to meet your payroll needs and your operating cost. So that's been a lot of the things that we have been involved with over the years. And then we also worked with the City of Dunwoody when the city was privatized 5 years ago. My firm was very instrumental in taking care of the business license, and we do that today. We assist court services, and we're also involved in the purchasing.
So How did you just kind of like develop one area and then see a need and, you know, expand into that? I see you have quite a few people working with you.
That is exactly right, Chris. We met the needs that came about at the time, and we developed relationships with a lot of the prime consultants, which has helped us tremendously over the years. We don't do a lot of business development ourselves, because most of our clients come because of word of mouth.
When somebody, a municipality or entity, one of these agencies hires you,
yes.
What are they looking for? Why do they look to you instead of doing it in-house?
Well, it's better to hire firms such as ours because it's more economical for them. One of the key areas is that if you hire us to come in, if you decide you don't like one of my staff tomorrow, then that person is gone. It's very difficult for a lot of the municipalities to, terminate employees, especially if they're not doing their job. So we can do things a lot cheaper. Our staff is very multifaceted, and we work together. We have a small group of individuals, and they all can do others' responsibilities and jobs.
So if I'm somebody at a local municipality, Johns Creek or something like that,
yes.
What areas can you help a city with?
Well, such as in Dunwoody, we have the accounting manager position, where our accounting person is filling all of the responsibilities for the budget, working directly with the city's finance director. We have the director of purchasing, and our purchasing manager is taking care of all of the RFPs, the RFQs, upcoming responsibilities or work that's coming out of the city. We also work with the court services, where we are providing assistance to the clerk, the city clerk. So all of those responsibilities, including the call center, our receptionist answers all the telephone calls that come into the city of Dunwoody on a day-to-day basis. And we have a record that, you know, none of those calls go to an answering machine, like a lot of cities. Mm. Are experiencing.
Now, people will really appreciate that.
Yes.
And talk to a
live
real human being.
Exactly.
I see a lot of heads nodding around the table here. So, you know, when you're working with the smaller companies, the people that you're working with in some of your outreach programs and minority programs, where you're helping a lot of people get in business and stay in business,
yes.
What kind of problems do you see that they have?
Well, I would say the largest problem is the lack of capital. Many firms, if they do not have accurate financial and complete financial statements, that is key, because without that, they cannot go to a bank and get a line of credit. They cannot go and get a loan. So that has been a very, very important weakness that I have experienced.
Shoebox accounting won't work.
Oh, shoebox accounting will not work. And the lack of business skills. You know, most often individuals go into business because they are technically capable and they have no clue what it is, what it takes to run a business. They don't understand, you know, keeping up with your cost, you know, your direct cost, your indirect cost, and like your overhead cost, which, you know, many times I have even witnessed a firm that had been awarded a contract a couple years ago, and they did not realize that they could put their overhead cost as a part of their estimate for doing the job. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that we stress. And if you're working on government contracts, very important that you understand and you keep your accounting in the proper manner. It has to be done in accordance with, like, the federal acquisition regulations, and you have to understand those regulations. So, and then we've also seen where non-payment of payroll taxes. You know, that's not our money. It belongs to the government, to IRS, so we can't be borrowing from that to meet our payroll.
You don't want to find out that you've not paid those taxes, because the next thing you will get is a dear felon letter in the mail.
That's absolutely right, and they will shut your doors down. In my 19 years, I mean, I've seen a few of those things happening mm-hmm. here in Atlanta. The other thing is a lack of opportunities, limited marketing. You should be out doing your marketing when you are the busiest. Don't wait until things slow down, because firms want to give you work if they know you're busy, because they know you are doing quality work and you're doing your job. Develop a network of business advisors that you can talk to and use as a sounding board. And you also have to know what makes you different from your competition. And be able to have that information that when you meet someone new, you can tell them those things. Very, very important.
You know, how do you help companies by imparting some of that information to them and helping educate them?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've been doing training at Hartsfield Atlanta Airport as part of the Greater Atlanta Alliance that I give back to the airport. And we have two classes each year. And I've been an instructor, like I said, out there for like 19 years mm-hmm. doing that. And then the other thing is with the small business development program that we have right now that's going on with the City of Atlanta Department of Watershed, I do all the construction accounting instructions. And then we also offer an overview for the firms that were selected to be a part of this program. We'll go in and do an office overview of their operations, where we're looking at their technical aspects. We're looking at business development and marketing. And we're also looking at their accounting. So we do that as a part of the efforts of our
That'll
project.
That'll really help. How many vendors are at Hartsfield?
Oh, my gosh, we have hundreds.
Really?
I mean, when you look at all of the construction firms and all of the consultants, both architectural and engineering, that have been a part of that program out there, you know, because we have a new terminal building, international terminal. We have a new rental car consolidated facility for that. So I would say at some point in time, we've probably had as many as 700 or 800 firms, you know, that we were dealing with the invoice administration and approval on.
Gosh.
And the big thing about that is with us doing that, we developed the program in 99, and it's still ongoing today. And the auditors, all of the auditors have been very pleased because it's not a big work effort when they come in, mm-hmm. because basically, you know, everything is in order.
And it's in compliance, and I mean, all the things Absolutely. They look for are all in line, so it's easy to do the audit.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, they will love you.
Oh, and that's just like our work that we do with the small firms on the small business development side, mm-hmm. working with those private firms. When we give the financials to them at the end of the year, their outside auditors or CPA firms love us because everything's in order, everything's right there. It's easy.
And it makes it easy for them to get credit from banks.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they've got the right client, they've got the government paying them.
Yes.
But trying to use that as collateral to get a loan is very hard if your financials are not in order.
Absolutely. You have to have good financial statements. And I can go into a firm's office and pick up their financial statements and look to see at the balance sheet, is it healthy? And then when I look at the income statement, if I see the labor all in one line item on that income statement, I know they have a problem because you have to separate the direct and the indirect labor. Mm-hmm. And many firms don't realize that. I mean, how are you going to know what your overhead costs are if you're not capturing your indirect labor, like your marketing labor, your management labor, your training, professional development labor? Those are the things that make up your overhead. And the other thing is owners of firms sometimes do not do time cards. Well, how are you going to know?
Department of Labor will want to talk to you.
That's exactly right.
You won't want to talk to them.
You have to. Just because you're the owner of the firm doesn't allow you to not do your time cards.
So the long and the short of all of this is that you really help people be successful in their business, and almost not because they're bad people or they don't know what they're doing. They just don't know what to do because there's no place you can go to school and learn this.
That's absolutely correct, Chris. I wish I had done this when I first started out of school. I mean, it's a pleasure for me to be able to see the firms succeed and to become profitable as a result of the work that we do for them.
Right. What we teach people really doesn't help them run a business at all. I mean, it might be marginally useful, but, you know, the real nuts, you know, that's where everybody says, well, I learned in the School of Hard Knocks. Well, you know, that's the only one that's out there.
That's absolutely right. There's not a lot of firms out there like JAT.
Like JAT, you're right.
And yeah. So yeah, we
business coaches, I think, are about the only other one, and you know, and some individual consultants.
Right.
Yes. And it's hard to know who you're getting unless it's a brand name, and you know, there you've got some good track record with it.
That's very
but
true.
But everybody needs it. I mean, you know, the number. I mean, you see it. You know, and you've seen it all over the place. You know, down where you've been.
Yes.
You know, and it's too bad because you got really good people who fail not because they're bad people, but because they just simply were never taught what to do.
That's very true. You can't. I mean, you can go out and spend all of your time marketing. You can do all your time, you know, doing all the technical aspects. But if you don't have your accounting in order and you win this job, you're going to fail. I mean, you will not be successful.
You know, you've always heard the story, you know, this, you know, the phrase, you know, grew myself out of business.
Yes.
You know, and that's a perfect example of it.
That's true.
You know, you don't know where your money's going, you don't know what you're making, and you can't spend it, and you can't spend IOUs.
That's absolutely correct. And the other thing, too, you have to make sure you pay your bills on time. You got to pay your vendors, and if someone is, you know, falling behind in their payments, one of the things that I tell them, I said, telephone them and let them know that you have a problem, and then that way they will work with you through those things. And get your invoices out on time. Find out from your client, you know, when do they want to see that invoice?
And if you, you want to make yourself a real popular person, you pay your bills. You know, your, you know, people you do business with will love you, use you, and come back.
That's absolutely
true. And recommend their friends. If you don't,
that's right.
They'll tell six people not to come back. Joanne, it's great having you on this morning. For people that are interested in learning more about your outreach program or availing themselves of your consulting services, how do they reach you?
I can be reached at JAT Consulting at 1301 Shiloh Road, Suite 1430. We're in Kennesaw, and the telephone number is 770-975-7359. And you can check out our website. It's www.jatconsulting.net. And we would love an opportunity to work with anyone.
So if you're a municipality or you're a small business or if you're a agency of a government entity, you know, you'd like to talk to them, and I think they'd really like to talk to you.
Yes, we would. We would love to have the opportunity.
Great. Well, thank you. Well, let's move on. I'd like to go over. I'm going to put you last, Jeff. I think you'll make a great guy to close this out if that's okay.
Sure.
But I'd like to go over and talk with Brittany Ping about what you do. So you're students in college, which is an organization, and you say that you have ways to save parents and students time, money, and effort in the daunting yet inevitable college and career journey. Well, tell me all about that.
I bet a lot of people want to hear about that. So.
Yeah, since I've already, I'm a little old for that now, but you know, I'm still interested.
Well, the truth is that parents are having to make really costly investments in their child's education, or children, students themselves are having to make that investment. And just for some background, the average college student is spending 6 years in school versus the traditional four. Largely that's because they're changing their major more than twice. So that means more money for parents to fork over, or for students. Tuition for school is also at a record high. Then you have the economy and the not so wonderful job market out there for those who are graduated or graduating. And you have the truth now that having a college degree does not secure you with a job after school. And parents are having to face that fact. Students are having to face that fact. And
it makes a real problem worse because now you have people that are coming in taking on large student debt and expecting a job when they get out, but they find the market is still very soft and they're either not employed or very underemployed.
Exactly. And I don't know if people know this, but student debt is past $1 trillion in the U.S., and that's more than all of the credit card debt in the largest consumer-driven nation in the world. So it should make you worry a little bit. Parents are really trying to find some way to make a wise investment. And you were talking a minute ago about the School of Hard Knocks being the only real school. And it's true. And the sad thing is that students are having such a difficult time getting into that School of Hard Knocks because of what they're faced with today. So what we do as a company is we really nip this and give parents that knowledge and students that knowledge through data. And we equip students with their strengths that allows them to confidently and wisely go forward in the future.
Now, how do you do that?
So this is it's psychometrics, which is a big fancy word for saying how people think, learn, and behave. So in the student realm, that means that we help students understand areas of study that would fit their strengths best, the overall college experience that will be best for them, even down to how students take standardized tests before they get into college, how to interview with different colleges. We even have a report for parents to understand how their child, how to interact with their child and relate to their child, which when they're a teenager is sometimes difficult. So,
what? Never heard that.
Yeah. So what they do is it's a 25-minute online experience, and the student just takes this this time on the computer, and they can't be interrupted, but 25 minutes is not too terribly long. And then we get their data, and we translate it for them into specific reports. And those are easy reports for parents or students to read and to be able to make wise choices afterwards.
So what kind of things do people find out from your psychographic, you know, sociometric, you know, whatever in the world this thing was?
Well, they find out things like how, if they're a fast learner or if they're a very methodical learner. They find out things such as if they're really wonderful with details or not wonderful with details, and how they handle stress, how they socialize with other people, and how they work in team environments versus competitiveness as an individual. So if we translate that into the job market, somebody who is a salesperson, for example, is going to be very direct. They're going to be very high on the people scale, so to speak, and know how to really interact with people. And those are the kinds of people that will sell well. So if a student finds that their reports reflect that, then they're going to make a great salesperson. And if, for example, you're really high in details or really high in rules, then you would make a great scientist. And it's just piecing things together that way and trying to apply what you are to the job market out there.
So you're kind of helping the student, you know, avoid this change in majors because they get down the road and they realize this really isn't for me.
Exactly, yes. And so we then save you money also and time. And
yeah. What about the back end of it in terms of anything you do to give parents and students some idea of, well, if you pick a history major, what kind of job opportunities are there?
There are countless sites out there for jobs and what's out there. And in terms of the back end of what we do, the only thing in terms of reports that we have are what we call job snapshots. And a student can pick any, we have a list of about 71, 72 jobs, and that's growing as we create more, but a student can literally try on a job. So they could look at a historian, for example, and look and see how they would perform in that job and critical points of things to be careful for example, they would see there. So instead of just saying, well, you should be a flight attendant, we tell you if you are a flight attendant, what you'd be great at and what to be careful for and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah. So how did you come by starting this company?
I actually joined on. We are connected to Best Work Data, which is also here in Alpharetta. And Best Work Data is the business side of this. It's the same intellectual property, the same data. But instead of focusing on students, Best Work Data focuses on business and departments and training and hiring and screening and that sort of thing. So the CEO of Best Work Data was... he would have parents come up to him saying, hey, you know, like, my student really needs help. This stuff is so great. Is there anything for a child or for a student who's looking to go to college? And there really wasn't, but he would specialize and sit down and make special reports for those people, but never really created a program or anything of it until his own daughter went to college and realized that she was in the same boat of not knowing what to do or even where to start. So that's when he sat down and built the program. And but he is an older gentleman, and in terms of relating to teens and young adults, didn't feel like that was a very good fit.
Yeah, what is his name?
Chuck Russell, the okay. CEO, yes. And so he wanted actually his daughter and me, 24 years old, to help, start this and to really relate to students who are going through the same thing that his daughter went through, Lacey Russell, and that I went through also.
So. That we all went through, you know, right. You know, unfortunately. And it is confusing. I mean, you have no idea. I mean, you know, some people, of course, you know, have always known they wanted to be a doctor, and I mean, my God, you know, they have no idea how lucky they are.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, I had absolutely no idea and still don't.
me either. So.
I said one of these days when I grow up, I do hope to be something useful. So, you know, an interesting approach to it, using science to help guide people, just like you do in business. I mean, you know, there, you know, the use of psychographic, you know, and sociometric, you know, tools right. in that industry are well, you know, well established. I mean, there's DISC and there's, you know, Chuck's and there are others that are, you know, Hogan's. I mean, they're widely used.
Right.
And they really do help people understand what they're likely to be good at, what they're likely not to be good at, so mm-hmm. don't put a salesman in to be your comptroller.
Exactly.
Makes right. a very poor idea, and vice versa. Yeah. So, you know, interesting that you're applying that to schools and students, and how has that benefited the parents and the students in both a satisfaction point of view as well as a monetary?
Well, it benefits them tremendously. Just the idea of whether you're a high school senior or in college, you just have this fear of not knowing what you're supposed to do or even where to start. And at least for me, I went to my career services hoping to get answers and just walked out of there even more scared than I walked in there. So just equipping a student with knowledge of where to start, if nothing else, and what to avoid for certain is such an empowerment and really empowers the parent also. So you have that, and that empowerment stays with you as you work through your career. And then also, of course, monetarily, as we've mentioned, the money that you save in school and even in picking the right school. Our CEO actually has an interesting story. His dad wanted him to go to George Tech. And I mean, he didn't really think much of it. He just went and wanted to major in physics. Always did well in school. Brilliant guy. And he could not understand why he was failing physics classes because he's never failed a class in his life. And it wasn't until, you know, decades later when he and Lynn Goldstein sat down and made this students in college report, for example, this data, that he realized that he was not strong in those things. He wasn't strong with details. He wasn't strong with rules. So he was kind of doomed for failure in a sense. And it's just those things that you can avoid, and that saves you a lot of time and a lot of heartbreak of having to transfer schools or feeling like a failure. There's actually a really great quote that Einstein said. He says, everyone's a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. So we're kind of in that same mentality, same mantra there. So.
That's a great quote. And we do that all the time. We do it in business. We have people that we insist they, you know, climb that tree.
Right,
you know,
right.
If people want to avail themselves of their service, learn more about it, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, we have a website, studentsincollege.com.
That's AND College, A-N-D?
A-N-D, yes. And we also have a blog, which is studentsincollege.com/blog. Or you can reach me at Brittany, B-R-I-T-T-N-I, strange spelling, I know, at celebratestrengths.com.
Well, it's been, you know, great having you on, Brittany, and I'm sure there are a lot of parents out there that will be, you know, calling and contacting you wanting to find out what this little numbskull they've got for a kid is, you know, going to be good at, because so far they haven't seen anything except, you know, sleeping.
Well, we're happy to help if that's what they want.
Well,
and
great.
Thank you.
Great. I mean, it's been a pleasure. Tell Chuck I said hello. He was one of our guests not too long ago.
I will, yes.
He very, very interesting guy. So, you know, I'd like to turn now to our marketing expert on the web, Jeff Sheehan, and Sheehan Marketing Strategies. Tell us all about internet marketing strategies and what you do over there.
Well, basically, Chris, I have Sheehan Marketing Strategies. They also have another business that's somewhat related to Brittany's doing. On what it is for the job seekers, it's called TransitionSherpa.com. Basically, it's an A to Z for the job search. I was downsized 3.5 years ago, so forced to reinvent myself in a lot of respects. So I took my marketing knowledge of 30-plus years working with some of the world's largest companies and formed a consulting business called Sheehan Marketing Strategies. That evolved into teaching courses at numerous career ministries in Atlanta on a volunteer basis on using LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Google, and other tools for the job search. So I've spoken perhaps 35, 40 times or more to various churches around greater Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I love it. So this morphed into a business with another gentleman called Transition Sherpa, which assists in A to Z and incorporates some of the social media aspects in that as well. My main business, however, is the Sheehan Marketing Strategies, which is involved in working with companies, professionals, and nonprofits to maximize their online presence, create visibility, and lead generation for their respective businesses. I'm a strong proponent of using tools such as LinkedIn because it's a very useful tool in the business-to-business community, and also Twitter. I'm a so-called Twitterholic. I'm engaged in Twitter numerous hours a day, in generating leads in business opportunities, not only for myself, but for clients and some of the nonprofits that I've worked for. It's been a phenomenal tool. And my day can start in Perth, Australia, or Sydney, Nairobi, Kenya, or wherever it might be, where I have contacts all over the world and built a huge distribution network of over 200,000 people that I'm connected to as followers on Twitter. So it's been an unbelievable tool as far as generating leads and interest and potential business opportunities.
Now, has this been good for for-profit businesses as well as nonprofit?
Both, actually, yes. Uh-huh. In positioning, creating awareness, whether it's a local, national, international business, it can help anyone. It's particularly useful for authors, for speakers, for almost any business. But the tools that you use will vary from business to business because they don't all make sense with regard to what you're doing. It does take a lot of effort, so you have to be very, very careful and select in what you actually do.
Yeah. What's the level of knowledge of the average company owner about how to use these tools?
It's very minimal for the most part, quite honest with you. First of all, they don't have the knowledge base or have not invested the time and energy in obtaining that. More importantly, they generally don't have the time to properly execute. It takes other individuals that you have to. A lot of them go out and they hire interns. The problem with that is that the intern doesn't know the business. So they're out there, they're communicating messages for the respective companies, not knowing the business, not knowing the audience, and subject to typos, grammatical errors, and other things which can reflect negatively in the business. Now, I come from a strong communications background. I was in the advertising agency business for 5 years here and worked with some very, very large companies. And communication, once it's out there and you have typos or grammatical errors or whatever, it can really reflect negatively on your brand and destroy your brand overnight, particularly if a message infuriates a target audience of that. So you have to be very, very careful of that. And if you're hiring interns to do your marketing communications, whether it's social media, direct marketing, whatever it might be, you can cause innumerable problems for you.
You can make yourself look bad because this company doesn't know what the heck they're even talking about.
Correct. And that's one of the problems here in this social media age. They think that they can go out and hire an intern that can take care of this because they look at Facebook, they look at Twitter, they look at some of these. It's just tools. And kids are good at Facebook or good at Twitter or whatever it might be, yet they lack the business acumen, the experience levels in that to generate the type of messages that are on target and free of any potential liability for the particular business owner.
Yeah, what may fly, at the university may not fly at all in your medical tools.
Correct, absolutely. So you have to be very, very careful with regard to that.
Yeah. You got into that business as a result of some of the things that you did, and of course your marketing background. I mean, you caught on to the power of something like this.
Correct.
Used wisely. What are the key things you would tell a business that was interested in improving their visibility footprint and their ability to get out in front of the audience they want to talk to?
Well, first thing they need to do is they need to take an introspective look at their respective businesses. Where do they currently stand? What have they done? What has worked for them? What hasn't worked? And what have they spent money on and time? And that is the number one step, and that's so often overlooked because people just jump into the tools. Second thing, what is their strategy? What are they trying to accomplish, the goals and objectives for that respective business with regard to these? Because that'll have a bearing on the respective tools that you use and how much time committed. And I equate the tools, you said like a toolbox for a physician, whatever. I also equate the tools like a portfolio of stocks, where you have a certain list of tools that you're going to use, and some of them will carry more weight within that respective portfolio than others. More importantly, as you're out there using these tools, you need to prune from time to time the amount of energy and effort that you're putting each one of those tools, depending upon the type of return investment, return engagement that you're getting for those respective tools.
What are some of the tools that people could use?
I think, for instance, if you're engaged in the B2B business, that LinkedIn is number one without question because of the fact that you can position yourself quite admirably with a nice, stellar profile. You can connect with people. You can update people on a daily basis with regard to the LinkedIn profiles, and you can create and make connections with people. One of the things I believe in is being an open networker on LinkedIn and connecting with people throughout the world because of the fact that the larger your network on LinkedIn, the greater your ability to be found and also to find people in the second and third level connection. And it makes it very, very important with regard to that. There are about 225 or so million people on LinkedIn nowadays, all over the world, from all walks of life. It used to be fairly limited to people in Silicon Valley, but LinkedIn just celebrated its 10th anniversary yesterday, and it's grown exponentially as a business tool for communicating in that. They just rolled out a new function last week called LinkedIn Contacts. It's not available to everyone, but it serves as a very, very powerful CRM tool for connecting with people, engaging with them with regard to their relationships with them, their birthdays, and all kinds of content with regard to when you should reach out to those individuals.
So it's sort of a mini contact manager.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is, in wide use, obviously, in corporate America,
right.
And smaller companies that understand the power of staying in contact with and in touch with their clients on a personal basis as well as a professional basis.
Yes, and also the thing is it allows you to maintain contact with your current customers. In the social media age, what I've seen is people are out there for customer acquisition rather than customer retention and customer nurturing. And LinkedIn has, with this new tool now, due to the fact that it does ping you with regard to connecting with those people, allows you to go out and continue that contact process with them for an indefinite period of time, which is so important to nurture those relationships you've had in the past and continue to nurture them with your current customer base or potential customer base that is already pre-existing, not so much going out with new customer acquisition. Because if you go out and you nurture your current customer base, then it'll reap tremendous rewards for you.
In referrals.
Referrals, correct.
Or repeat business.
Correct.
So in your business, what functions do you provide for someone who is interested in improving, their visibility through these social media outlets?
Creating to the particular platform that's used, the type of wordsmith and that, and then going out and creating the LinkedIn profiles, the Google profiles, the directory profiles, and whatever else makes sense for their respective businesses to create the visibility, the online identity and awareness for them, and then utilizing the various channels out there to get the message across, whether it be Twitter or LinkedIn, whatever it might be.
Do you do anything on the website to help their web presence?
Yes, correct. Search engine optimization, also connectivity with regard to the social media channels to make sure that they have a presence on that as well. Make sure that they're registered in the respective directories, also the Google Analytics and whatever it might be that pertains to their respective.
Yeah, so they can measure, the effect that their campaigns are having.
Correct.
So, when you said social or SEO, explain that and what that means today.
Search engine optimization, and basically it means going out there and creating the particular keywords and references within your profile, the correct linkage in that, that's going to help attract potential searches. So if someone goes out and does a search, which majority of people now do in the handhelds, that they will find you, making sure that you have a mobile-ready website, that you have the keywords in there that are going to attract on a local basis and you're competitive with regard to that. You'd be surprised at how many companies out there have not done that. They will go out, they'll set up a website, and the website is like a gravestone in a graveyard. It sits there and nothing happens because no one can find it. They haven't registered with the Google, the Bing webmasters, or the Yahoo, or the directories out there. They haven't done anything to coordinate them with the social media the sites. They haven't the background with regard to keywords or optimization, the meta tags, or whatever else within there. The links, and you have to be careful in some respects because there are companies out there selling bogus links and that. But
yeah, the people that say, we'll get you a first-page rank on Google guaranteed, what do you say to that?
I say they're full of baloney for the most part, okay? You can do it if you pay. A pay-per-click campaign, it can help drive traffic for
then
you.
We will get you on the front page.
Right. And again,
pay-per-click, $5 a click.
Yeah, pay-per-click will get you there. But generally, from organic perspective, there aren't any guarantees. It's first come, first serve. Although in this day and age, if you do have a Google Plus profile and you have a presence in that regard, it will help you from an organic search perspective because of the fact that Google Plus is a Google is a Google property, and Google treats the Google properties as their
Not all profiles are created equal.
Correct. Absolutely. So that has made a great change with regard to search engine optimization, making sure the companies and that do have Google Plus profiles and Google presence to enhance the search engine optimization.
Have you got any examples of companies that are really doing this right?
There are a number. I think one of the companies I always state when I give my talks here, particularly from a talent acquisition perspective, and also from, I think UPS here in town does a phenomenal job with regard to what they've done in their social media area, and also within LinkedIn itself with regard to generating interest and having, you can go, it's essentially a one-stop platform on their LinkedIn profile for finding information on the company. If you're a job seeker, that you can't ask for a better site than what UPS has. They've done an admirable job in that particular area. There are numerous brands out there also. Coca-Cola, I think, with regard to social media, has done an excellent job. Many small companies have done so as well.
So clearly it's not something, you know, you can get a, you know, your neighborhood, you know, your next door neighbor's, you know, kid who is a computer whiz to do for you and your company, or nor can you bring in a person who is going to be an intern for the summer and you know, get you found on the front page of Google. So it takes a professional, and you're clearly one. How do people get in touch with you if they're interested in finding out more and seeing how this could benefit their company?
Well, they can reach me at jeffsheehan2010@gmail.com, which I generally go by, although I have jeffs@sheehanmarketingstrategies.com as well. And also, you can find me on Twitter, Jeff Sheehan. If you go in Twitter, you'll see me out there. I'm all over Twitter. Or you can call me at 770-366-1047.
Well, Jeff, it's been great having you on. Joanne, Brittany, and our guest that had to depart a little earlier, Alan Mishkoff, it's been great having you on today. Thank you, for coming, and hopefully we won't get rained on yet again when we leave.
Well, thank you, Chris.